study, we saw there Apostle Peter giving instructions to the elders and also to the young and old in the assembly, the whole assembly together. Then the end of that section, that passage, he says, verse 6 and 7, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So Peter encouraged them to be under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself. Cast all your care upon him. Don't worry about your life. Don't be anxious about your life. But then Peter, it seems, he remembered one thing. Because of that confidence in the Lord, because they trust in that Lord, and they may take it in the other way. We have nothing to do. God will take care of us. So that may tend to another extreme thought of carelessness. So they will think that God will take care of us, so why do we worry about our life? Why do we take care of our life? So Peter, now from 8 onwards, warns against such extreme attitude. Now, Christian life, now it's an interesting feature, it's an interesting truth, that we need to be balanced. Warren words we study, if we go to any extreme, that extreme will end up in gutter. Extremes are always in the gutter. If you go to the left extreme, gutter. And right extreme, again gutter. So we need to be balanced. That's the idea Apostle Peter has here. He says, it's true, God cares for you. But that doesn't mean that you can be careless. You need to be careful. Because, what is the reason? There is an enemy. So here in 8 onwards, especially up to verse 11, he writes about how to respond to devil's attack. These suffering Christians exhorted them to be free from anxiety, trusting in the Lord. At the same time, they must be very careful against the attack of the evil one. So that is the context, that is the background here for verse 8 onwards. Now verse 8 BC, Peter gives some 4 things about devil. Now we have lot of things about devil, about Christians' warfare. We are not going to that area, but whatever Peter says, we shall consider. Now we have 4 things about devil. First of all, he says that be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary. That's the first thing. Very simple. Satan is our adversary. The word means the one who is opposing us. You know the word in Greek, you know the parakletos, you know. Parakletos means advocate. The one who speaks on behalf of us. The Lord Jesus Christ is our advocate in heaven, 1 John 2. And the Holy Spirit is our advocate within us. Devil is just opposite to that. Because this word is just the opposite word of parakletos. The one who is opposing us. The one who speaks against us. He is opposing us. We know that throughout the Bible we see how devil opposes God. Not only God, God and his purposes. Devil's only intention is to stand against God. God, his son Jesus Christ, his purposes, his people, and even the angels. We know that Daniel prayed and God sent an answer with the angel, and angel of the Lord on the way, what happened? We read there some 24 days. Just see that Daniel 10:13. We read there, I think some 24 days. Daniel 10:13. Says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me, 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. King of Persia. So devil stood against, opposed the angel who came with the answer. And then Michael had to come and help that angel. Peter Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:18, we must remember that because quite often we don't pay attention to this aspect of the evil work, the work of the evil one. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, we read there, therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. We wanted to come to you, but Satan hindered us. And you know about how devil tried to stop the Lord Jesus Christ. He tried to kill him when he was a child. He tried to kill him when he was sleeping there on that boat. And he tried to convince him through using Simon not to go to the cross. And we see that devil opposing the Lord Jesus Christ. And devil opposing God, his son Jesus Christ, angels, and even God's servants and angels. Now day-to-day life we do face it. You do face the attack of devil. You must be aware of it. Okay, now the second thing Apostle Peter says refers to, actually from that very title itself we understand something more about devil. The term devil, now that is actually accuser. He's an accuser. The devil, the word devil itself means slanderer or accuser, the one who is accusing. We see in the book of Revelation, we see in the book of Job, Zechariah. But in the Revelation, there's one verse is there. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, end of verse 10. We read there, power of his Christ have come, the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night. Devil is an accuser. He will go to God and accuse us. He will speak against us to God. And he will go to man and he will speak against God. And he will go to people and speak against the brethren. Devil is an accuser. That is his name. His name itself is an accuser. And then thirdly, another idea we get from what Apostle Peter writes, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. Peter pictures him to a lion, a roaring lion. You know, lions, very mighty, strong, and if anybody will fear. So devil, in the first reading he's like a lion. But what I want to say from there, he's a deceiver. Because here Apostle Peter says, let's go also. Often he will come in relation to these suffering Christians, devil is dealing with them as a lion, threatening them, and roaring at them, and showing that he is mighty to kill them, destroy them. But at the same time, we know in the Bible says, not always devil comes as a lion. He will come as a snake, serpent. And he will come as a bird. And he will come as an angel of light. So he takes different forms. Sometimes as a lion, as an angel of light, or as a serpent, deceiving God's people, deceiving the people of God. Now one more thing is here about devil. What is that? Seeking whom he may devour. He walks about like a roaring, like a lion. Walks about. That means Peter says devil is looking for an opportunity. He is moving around. His intention is to whom to catch, to whom to devour. That is, in other words, he is always looking for an occasion. We will get, now this idea we will get more, we can clarify, we can No, you will get it more clear from Luke's Gospel 4:13. Luke's Gospel chapter 4 verse 13, we understand from there. You see, devil tempted the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord defeated him. Then what do we read? In the end of 13, he departed from him until an opportune time. He departed from him until an opportune time. That means, devil does not flee away. He is not tired of failure. He is not bored because of failure. He is not worried about failures. Even if we defeat him 100 times, he will be there to attack us again, waiting for another occasion. So we must be careful. What Apostle Peter says, he is looking for an opportunity. He is waiting. He is moving around, carefully looking, like a lion, maybe like a serpent, or like an angel of light, or like a bird who will come and take away the word of God. So he is, I wrote it like this, he is a shameless man. No shame he has. He is a defeated foe, we know that. The Lord has already defeated him. But he has no shame to come after us again. Okay, so what should be our response to such evil one? How should we react to devil? When he is there, looking for an opportunity, waiting for an opportunity. So how shall we respond to him? Now many Christians, we know that, they rebuke him and they will bind him in the name of Christ, saying, loudly saying. Can we do that? Can we rebuke devil? Can we speak some abusive words against devil? Can we bind him? See, we see in the book of Jude, Jude verse 9. From there we understand, Jude 9, yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation. But sir, the Lord rebuked. Even the angel Michael, Jude says, he did not dare to rebuke devil. Then can you do that? We are not supposed to rebuke devil. We can't bind him. It is not right. The angel doesn't do that. Then what shall we do? Peter says, resist him. Verse 9, resist him. Now what does it mean by resisting? Resisting means, Christians, believers, we have an enemy, devil, with all the angels in Ephesians 6. And what shall we do? We don't need to go after him to catch him, to rebuke him, to bind him, to attack him. We need to stand and resist. Now we see that very clearly in Ephesians chapter 6. Repeatedly it's written there, stand. See, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. We read there, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand against. Okay. Then we read, verse 13. Therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist. So, stand. Before fight, we should stand. During the fight, we should stand. After the fight also, we should stand. So, we are not supposed to move around, run around, as the military will do, the army will do. We need to stand in a position. Resist devil. Because we are standing where? On the place that the Lord has captured. We are standing in the place of victory. We don't need to capture anything more.
only need to defend our territory. We only need to stand and oppose or resist the devil. It's not an offensive. We don't need to go and capture the things that devil is controlling. We only need to stand in the position of victory, in the victory land, in the place of victory, and resisting that soul. Standing against it. James 4:7, James also says the same idea. James 4:7, we read, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist him, that he may not attack us, or he may not defeat us, or he may not be defeated by Satan. Now, one thing we must remember, now, the Lord, we read the Bible that the Lord has already defeated devil. Maybe we shall read one more verse, Romans 16:20. We read there, in Colossians we read, many other references, Romans 16 verse 20, we read there, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. It's about future. In Colossians we read already the Lord has defeated him. So he is a defeated foe. We are already in the hands of the Lord. Devil can never take us away from the hands of the Lord. No believer can be possessed by devil or evil forces, evil agents. But we should remember, devil can disturb us. As we have seen already, he can oppose us. He can hinder us. He can create problems. He can take away our joy, our confidence. He can disturb us through various ways. That's why we need to be careful. We need to resist him. And how shall we do that? That's what Apostle Peter says here. Some four things are there. First of all, he says you must be sober. What is sober? Very simple, very clear. Sober. You must be self-controlled. You must be in your sense. You must be conscious about what is going on. You must be intelligent. You should know these things. You should be aware of these things. The way devil works, the tactics of devil, we see in 2 Corinthians 2:11, we are not ignorant of his tactics, devices. We should know. And we must be self-controlled, or we should be sober, we should be intelligent, we should know what is taking place and how devil works, evil forces are working. That is one thing we must understand. So one thing we should do in resisting devil. And second thing, again, the same place it is written, verse 8, be vigilant. Now, what is the difference between be sober and be vigilant? No question, I know. Be vigilant means we should be more alert. We should be conscious. We should understand what is taking place. We should know, we should be intelligent. At the same time, we should be carefully watching. Peter knows it very well. You know, in Luke's Gospel 22:31 onwards, the Lord warned him. You remember that? In Luke's Gospel 22:31 onwards, the Lord warned Apostle Peter. He said, 22:31, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. When you have returned to me, strengthen your brother. So here, it's very clearly the Lord warned him that devil has an eye upon you. Devil has asked permission for you. And I have given permission. The Lord prayed, you know, that means given permission. But his faith may not fail. Then you will come back. Devil is going to attack you and you are going to fail and you should come back. You will come back. You will be restored. Then you strengthen the brother. So even after warning Satan, Peter failed to be alert. The moment he denied the Lord.
Three times he denied. And we know the reason, because of self-trust. Okay. So Peter, he knows the consequences of not being alert. He should be alert. He should be vigilant. He should be very careful, because enemy is there. Evil forces are there to trap him, to attack us, to disturb us, to hinder us. So we must be vigilant. If we are not vigilant, attack will take place, because devil is looking for an opportunity. See, in Ephesians 4:27, Paul says, that's why Paul exhorts the Ephesian Christians, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27. We read there, nor give, verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Nor give place to the devil means, there is, Paul says indirectly, devil is looking for an occasion. If we are not careful, if we allow wrath, anger to dwell in our heart, in our mind, we are giving an opportunity to Satan. So when we don't care, when we don't, we are not alert, there may be an occasion when we don't think about that, devil may attack us. See, quite often we don't think of all these things. We are not worried about it. I have personally experienced, and I know, and some of you know my weaknesses. I am very much aware about it. Not over everything, of course. The Lord is teaching me even today. But I am aware. There are some area in my life. See, there are some area in our life where we are strong. We are strong. And when we give more attention, focus on the strong area, we forget the weak area. Devil may not be able to attack us in the strong area. We have a position, doctrine, oh, I'm strong. Okay, devil may not attack us because I'm strong. Or maybe another area. But there may be another area where we are weak. So my job is job to examine that. What is my job? Devil, see, we have experienced, I have experienced it. What happens, you know, we are spiritual, godly, but on a particular moment, we never imagined, we fail, desperately we fail, terribly fail, in an area. Most often, we fail to control our emotion. We become angry. Or we have a bad temper. Our emotion. Or we criticize. Sometimes in these days, actually, I pray to the Lord. Lord, it seems that I have a tendency to criticize me. Help me. Sincerely, I pray. And I do pray. So what Apostle Peter says, you should be alert in relation to your weakest area, weak area. And what shall you do? We should ask the Lord, Lord, help me. If we don't take care, we are not alert, you know, devil will attack there. We preach a very good message, and after that saying one sentence, and that simple sentence, that one sentence can destroy the whole effect of the message. We do a lot of things in the assembly, but one action, simple means only single one action, devil destroys us. So we need to be careful. That's what Apostle says, be sober. That means you should be sensible, you should understand how devil works and how evil forces are working, and we should be sober minded. We should be in a right mind, and also we should be vigilant. We should be very careful. We should be able to understand where we are weak and where we are strong. We should examine our loopholes and seek the help of the Lord. Now, the third thing necessary to resist evil. Evil means resist the one, devil.
What is that? There again, in the same sentence, the verse 9,
resisting, steadfast in the faith. Steadfast in the faith.
So how shall we resist the devil?
Third is, stand firm in the faith. It has two ideas. Stand firm in the faith, I think both ideas are important. One is to trust the Lord. We can never resist devil by our own strength. As I told you, we cannot rebuke devil. Who am I? We cannot go to devil physically. We can only trust the Lord who has defeated the evil one. We have seen that. David, the Lord has already defeated him. So we need to trust that Lord who is himself is a victor. And believe that in him we have victory. His victory is our victory. And in him we are more than conquerors, as we read in 2 Corinthians. So trusting in the Lord for victory. And the second idea, I believe, stand firm in the truth. Because faith, not only our confidence in the Lord, faith also speaks of the truth, the body of truth. Jude verse 3, body of truth, biblical revelation, the word of God. Stand firm in the faith, stand firm, rooted in the word of God. And that will also help us to resist the evil one. Trust and confidence in the Lord, and also our stand, firm stand in the word of God. That will help us to resist the evil one. Now, that is third one. So be sober, be vigilant, and stand firm in the faith. Trusting in the Lord and standing in the truth of the word of God. Now fourth requirement to resist devil. Okay. That we see in verse 9 again. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing what? There are many things. Knowing. You should know these things. Seven things he's going to say there. Earlier also he said, be sober, be alert, now steadfast in faith. Now fourth thing he says, you should know, that means you should be aware of the following things. Now Peter gives some five things there, he says, you should know it very well. Not just to know, you should be assured of these things. You should be sure about it. You should have a conviction about these five things. The following five things are there. What is the first thing? He says, first things they should know, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. What is the idea? He says, you should know first of all, you should be aware, you should be assured of one thing, you are not alone. We are not alone. In this suffering, evil forces are attacking. Devil is attacking through various ways. Now we must always remember, devil never works directly. You should know that. When we study about devil, you know, we understand. He will never work directly. He will never come and say, oh, I am devil, I am Satan, I have another name. He never did that. He will always come indirectly, using people. Using circumstances, most of the time using children, many times, using people, somehow he will use various tricks, various tactics. So, Paul Peter says, you should know one thing, you are not the only person who is facing such satanic attack. We are not alone. He says, the word experienced by your brotherhood in the world. All over the world, brethren, God's people, the church is facing such satanic attack. You know that in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah was so much worried. Why? Because he thought he is alone. I am the only one. Everyone have forsaken the Lord. I am the only one. He thought that he is alone. And that resulted in depression. And he said, take me, O Lord. I don't want to leave. So when we consider that, the others have more suffering. Actually, when we, in the Indian context, you know, and we who are living in Bombay especially, when we think of God's people all over India, or all over the world, we are very, very blessed people. When I say blessed means, we don't have much problem. When we compare our problems, our sufferings, our difficulties with the others who are in different parts of India or all over the world, our problems are nothing. But we need to compare, we need to find out what is taking place all over the world. Then we will understand God in His mercy and grace keeps us safely and protects us, and we don't have too much problem, and that will encourage us to face these little problems. Okay, now the second thing that we need to be aware of. Be aware of one thing, we are not alone. Now secondly, verse 10, may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have, actually that verse, you know, we need to read that in RSV or ESV, because according to King James Version, it seems that, we feel that verse 10 is a prayer. It's not a prayer. May the Lord. No. There is no may there. It is actually, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, establish you. That means Peter is saying some fact. He is presenting a truth. He is giving a promise to them. It is not that may the Lord do it for you. It's not a wish, it's not a prayer. It's a reality He is introducing to them. You should be aware that God is doing something for you. God is going to do something for you. So there is no may there, it's not a prayer. What you need to understand, first of all, He says, you should know God is the source of all grace. See, our question is how to resist devil. We must be sober, we must be vigilant, we must stand firm in the faith, and we must be aware of certain things. We must be aware that we are not the only people who suffer. And we need to be aware that God is the source of all grace. Now, what is the idea there? Three ideas are there. God is the God of all grace means much grace God has. Enough grace. Enough grace. Plenty of grace our God has. The one who saved us, the unworthy. The one who is taking care of us. No, we can't go into the lessons or thoughts on grace. It's enough grace, much grace. And not only that, whatever kind of grace or whatever may be your need, God has grace for every occasion. Grace enough. Grace abounding. And grace for any occasion, any kind of grace. And grace for anyone, everyone. Much grace. He's God of all grace. 2 Corinthians 1:3, we read there, God of all mercy. And like that, we see God of all grace. A God is God of all mercy, every kind of mercy He has. And He's merciful on any occasion. He's gracious on any occasion. So Peter says, you should be aware of that. God is God of all grace, source of all grace. Enough grace, whatever may be the need, whoever may be in need, and as much as we need, grace is available with our Lord. Now, third thing we must be aware, that is verse 10, the purpose of our calling. He says, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. To resist devil, we should know very well
Our God is God of grace. We should know I am not alone in this world suffering. And we should also know the Lord has called me for not for these sufferings, but for glory, eternal glory. Our goal is not the suffering, grace. We know, we read that, we sing that. Glory. So our focus should not be on these present problems. Our focus should be on glory, beyond the sufferings, beyond grace. And we should look forward to glory because God has called us for glory. Paul says the same thing in 2 Corinthians 4:17. When we think of glory that is going to appear, the weight of glory is much more. There, when you read, you know, the idea is, Paul's idea is, the more sufferings we have, the weight of glory will be increased. If I go through more sufferings today, the glory that is going to appear will be much more for me, the weight of glory. That is what Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Now, that is the third thing we must be aware about. And the fourth thing, verse 10. Again, what Apostle Paul, Peter says, after you have suffered a while. So that means, we must be aware that this suffering is just for a while. It is not forever. Again, the same idea we have in 2 Corinthians 4:17. Little suffering for a moment. Two words are there. For a moment, then for a while. No. Light affliction. Yeah. Light affliction for a moment. The suffering, its quantity is very less, very little. Comparing to the glory, eternal life. And then it's for a moment only. Light affliction for a moment. Same thing we see Apostle Peter also says, this suffering is for a while. It will not last forever. One day this suffering will be over. So that we must be aware of. We must be assured. The suffering, these problems, these hindrances, whatever it may be the troubles that we face, it is for a moment or for a few days, for a while. Then, fifth thing, in the study itself, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish. Again, you know, ESV is very good. Go to the RFB or ESV. There you see, notice that again. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore. I don't think that idea is there. Will Himself restore. God Himself will restore you after you suffered for a while. The other word, God Himself will complete the work that God has begun in you. As we read in Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. The one who has begun a work, He will complete it. God Himself will do it means, God, it doesn't say, God will help you to overcome the troubles. God will strengthen you to overcome the troubles. God Himself will come and restore you and establish you. Many words are there. He will perfect. That means He will complete the work. He will make you fit for eternal glory. And He will establish you in faith. And He will strengthen you for service. And God Himself will do it. Because it is God's work. God has started a work. I think in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 also, similar idea is there. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, God Himself will do it. Because He has done, He has begun a good work. And He will complete it. So God is working in and through us. Satanic forces cannot prevail. And God, devil cannot defeat the purposes of God. And God will allow for some time to fulfill His purposes. And then God will finish His work in us. And make us perfect. Establish us. Strengthen us. And settle us. So Peter says, gives the idea there how to respond, or how to respond to the attacks of the evil one. Four things are there. How shall we do that? We need to be, there are four things are necessary. Self-control, vigilance, faith, awareness. Aware of these things. We are not alone. God is the source of all grace. And glory is our God. We are not supposed to look on the present troubles. Our suffering is only for a while. And God Himself will complete His work. So now, after giving those instructions, now when let's turn to verse 11. Oh, He concludes with a doxology, a word of praise, thanksgiving. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. To Him means the one who is going to complete you, the one who is going to perfect you, the one who is going to restore you, the one who is going to establish you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now verse 12 to 14, 14 is concluding verse. Peter is concluding. But now, when you read that very clearly, we can understand. Now, Peter took that pen. So far, who was writing? Silas, Silvanus. So it seems Peter, he was telling him this message, and Silvanus was writing. Now, with that amen, he finished there. Now, he took that pen. And he says, by Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. So he just writes some concluding lines there, referring to Silas, the one who wrote it, and he's a faithful brother to Apostle Peter. And then he says, I have written very briefly, exhorting, testifying. What was the summary of his message? He says, it is the true grace of God in which you stand. There again, you have to go to ESV. A little more idea is there. It doesn't mean say in which you stand. It's an exhortation again. I was trying to exhort you or tell you about the grace of God. Grace that saves. Grace that made you heirs of life. Grace. And now what you should do, you should stand firm in it. Okay, you stand on it, that also is correct. No doubt about it. You do stand on grace. And now Peter says you stand on it. Now finally, she who is in Babylon, that is the place Apostle Peter is now, elect together with you, referring to the assembly, church, grieves you. So does Mark, my son, the one whom Apostle Paul said, I cannot take you with me for missionary journey. Now, he was not successful that time, but Mark became better now. Now he is a good man. He is a good apostle or a servant of God. Now he is along with Peter. Mark, my son, also greets you and greet one another with a kiss of love. And finally, he says, peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. So with that he concludes there. So that's a conclusion for us. Generally Apostle Peter, Paul concludes with grace to you, and Peter says, peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. So in the concluding passage, that is 8 to 14, lesson for us, message for us is, not only we need to be humble, we need to be careless about the things of this world, not to be anxious about day-to-day life. At the same time, we must be careful about our spiritual life. We need to understand that evil forces working against us, trying to trap us, to attack us. We need to resist Satan by these four ways. By being sober, vigilant and full of faith, and being aware of these truths. We are not alone. God is the source of all grace, and glory is our God, and suffering is for just a while.
And after that, the Lord will strengthen us, encourage us. Whatever may be our present day troubles, the Lord is going to change it. The Lord is going to accomplish His purposes in us. So believe it, trust it, stand in that grace, and God will allow His peace to all who are in Christ and to all who are in the Lord. May the Lord bless these.